الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Alhamdulillah, each month we get the opportunity to meet for the Gems of the Quran program. And in that program, we cover, I think most of you probably attend that program, we get the opportunity to cover some of the ayat of the Holy Quran from the 30th juz. And we just had the program last weekend, if I recall correctly. And in that program, we spoke about Surah Alaq. SubhanAllah, you know, we get together, and I think that surah must have taken us two sessions. We did it a month ago, and then we kind of repeated a little bit and completed the surah this past weekend. And so I think we probably spoke for, I don't know, close to 2 hours on the topic. But there's so many interesting things that our scholars say that you can never exhaust even the depth that's present in just a single verse of the Quran. And one of the things that I picked up on as I was preparing for that, I didn't get to expound on during the program, so I wanted to spend a few minutes today just expounding on this principle. But before I can highlight that principle, I'm going to just go back a little bit, lay down a foundation, and then inshallah we'll build up and you'll see how everything will fit together in a minute. So let me just start by saying that generally, the first, like they say, you know, they say this in our society, the first impression really matters. Or another way to put it would be that, for example, you know that when you read a book, for example, let's just say any famous novel, let's say you take the 100 most famous novels ever written and you pick them up, for the most part you're going to find that the first sentence is very famous. And an author, in general, when they write a text, they're very particular about the first sentence. The first sentence really needs to be something that's definitional. It needs to define the work. It needs to catch the attention's reader. And because, again, it's the same thing, which is what we just spoke about. The first impression is a lasting impression. So you open a book and you read the first line and you're like, whoa, that's a really, really deep statement. It takes you just on the beginning of a journey. And if you meet a person for the first time and they impress you, you remember that person. You really remember that person. For example, I can tell you, when you're reviewing an application, I review applications for medical students and residents all the time. And when I review the application, and very quickly, in 10 seconds, I can tell. Like the first, I look at the first few things, I know what to look at, I look at the first few things, and it doesn't mean I can define a person in 10 seconds, of course, nobody can. They're bringing their whole life's accomplishments and putting it in an application. But what I mean to say here is that in a few minutes, maybe seconds to minutes, I can quickly get an impression of that person. So first impressions, they are often lasting, and first impressions are often relevant. Now, the reason I mention all of this is because, as you're aware, if you were here last weekend, we spoke about Surah Al-Alaq, and this surah actually has the first five verses revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. That was something that we really spent some time talking about. And maybe I could even be more direct here. In particular, in those first five surah, first five ayat, the key message being delivered is recitation. And as you all know, the first verse, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. read or recite in the name of your Lord who created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, created man from a clot. اِقْرَأ, again, read or recite. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ, and your Lord is most generous. Now, this is just the first three verses, but notice that the emphasis here, the emphasis is on recitation. In fact, what's interesting is that in the first five verses of the Qur'an, which were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ to essentially crown him as a messenger and begin the deliverance of the Qur'an from the heavens to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, of course it's going to take 23 years, but these first five verses, the command to recite comes twice. Iqra, it's twice. It's the first word of the first verse, and it's the first word of the third verse. And one of the messages that we can take from this, that the scholars mention, is just how important it is for us to recite. Now, often when you read the translation, or even you read an explanation of these verses, lots of emphasis is presented on this notion of reading. So lots of people will say, see, this means you need to be educated. See, this means that advancement occurs through reading and education. This is highlighting the importance of knowledge. All of those are true. But foundationally, the verse, the command of the verse, is being given to recite revelation. Revelation is, of course, different than anything that human beings can ever produce, right? Human beings are unlimited. They're simply the kalam of nas, kalam of people. But the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be compared to the words of people. So I agree, education can be beneficial, but the point here is that the command is being given to recite revelation to the Prophet. And of course, once a person engages in revelation, then that is going to drive them to become a productive member of society, to educate themselves, and to do what's necessary to maintain excellence in what they do. So all of those are going to be secondary. But the primary command here, very important to note, the primary command is for recitation of revelation. Now, taking this one step further, it's a reminder to you and I that the foundation, right? Because this is the foundational interaction with the miracle of the Qur'an, right? The miracle of this deen is the Qur'an, and the foundational interaction of the Prophet ﷺ and subsequently through him of all of us is with revelation. This is the first command, to recite the revelation. And the message that we have to take is not some historical story that we're telling that happened 1,400 years ago. There was a man in a cave, so the Prophet was in the cave, and we're being told that he was told to recite revelation. We're not learning this circuit. We're not reviewing this circumstance to talk about history. We're talking about this circumstance to bring relevance into our lives. So what's the relevant point here? The relevant point is that this deen is built and predicated upon an engagement with revelation. And this is the challenge that we all face, to recognize that there's lots of opportunities to engage with things in the world. I can engage with Star Wars, I can engage with the NBA, I can engage with my physics class, I can engage with a medical textbook or a medical journal or a scientific journal. These are all present, no doubt. We have options to engage with many things. But the ultimate opportunity and the foundation of what will allow us to become who we want to be is only going to occur through revelation. And there's no negotiating this point. There's no negotiating this point. If you come to me and say, you know, I feel like making istighfar, I prefer istighfar, I don't like to make as much salawat. Okay, you can have some room there. I prefer to make this dhikr instead of that dhikr. You can have some room there. I prefer to study fiqh instead of tafsir. There's some room there, right? I prefer to give charity instead of standing in the middle of the night and offering prayer. There's some room to discuss there. But there's no room for this discussion. This deen is predicated upon engagement with the Qur'an. It is the main meal. Everything else aside from what's been assigned to us are the condiments. There's no discussion here. There's no discussion here. What that means is that any person, the first message we're being, look, you're going to start, let's just say there's something that starts with five lines, okay? The fact that the command to recite is repeated twice is almost like redundancy within the five lines. You would think, give five unique commands. Why are you just giving one key command? That's highlighting the importance of the message, of recitation. So all of us in this room have to recognize that. We have to recognize that if we really want to become who we want to become, personally, then we have to have a schedule of recitation. There has to be a schedule, a routine of recitation in our lives. It can't be that the Quran sits on our shelves and we just pick it up on occasion and see what interesting thing we find when we think we have a need. No, we're in constant need of it. It's the food of our souls. Just like you would not go, if I said to you, hey, has anybody in this room, if I said to you, you know, are you going to have dinner tonight? You'd say, what do you mean? I have dinner every night. I have dinner every night. Okay, or did you eat something today? Yes, I eat every day. Let's make it more general. I eat every day. But if I were to actually, you know, call on people and say, well, did you engage the Quran on Tuesday? Many people would say, Tuesday? I'm not sure. So that's not acceptable for the person who wants to build the foundations of their deen. And this is the first question that we all need to ask ourselves. What is my schedule with the Quran? What is my schedule with the Quran? Often I say, often in this gathering in particular, that look, every person who's serious about their spiritual development needs to have 20 minutes of Quran every day. Needs to have 20 minutes of Quran every day. Why? Number one, it's the miracle of the deen. It's the miracle of the deen. When we engage with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take a piece of that miracle into our hearts. It elevates us. It purifies us. It guides us. It is the greatest opportunity that we have, number one. And not that this is some sort of all-inclusive list, but just these are off the top of my head because I'm speaking here off the top of my head, number one. Number two, you can't approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything better than what came from Him. I'm just paraphrasing a hadith here from Tirmidhi. You cannot approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything better than what came from Him, yani the Qur'an. Meaning that if you have any desire, if we have any desire to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to be through the Qur'an, not through some made-up paradigm that I created, you know, some curriculum or some list of adhkar or some sort of list of deeds that you should perform. There's no exception. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be Mr. Political Activist. You could be Mrs. Scholar. Every person, whatever, wherever their expertise may be, is still required to develop a foundational relationship with the Quran. This is Muslim defining. So this is number two. We can't approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything better than what came from Him, i.e. here, the Quran. Number three, the fadl, the superiority of the word of Allah over the superiority of anything other than the word of Allah, yani the kalam al-nas, the kalam of the people, right? The superiority of Allah's word over the word of people is like the superiority of Allah over creation. Would any of you in this room ever dare compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to creation? Never. Never would we ever dare to compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to creation. These things are incomparable. There's nothing that's similar. Nothing similar between them. Yet, how dare we compare the word of Allah against the word of humanity, the word of people? The word of people means the talking heads, the entertainment, even the education. You cannot compare that to the Quran. Yet, I'm not saying we do it by mouth or tongue. We would never do it by mouth or tongue. But maybe perhaps our behavior is that way. Maybe in our behavior, we give so much emphasis to the news, the podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, all these things that we spend our time on. Every one of us is different. We all have our own, you know, addictions. But how could it be that, like, if I were to, like, you know, if I were to just look back at my last 24 hours, just look back at my last 24 hours and say, okay, in the last 24 hours, how much did I engage the word of people, the talking of the people, and how much did I engage the word of Allah? And if it's like the word of Allah, you know, a few minutes here, maybe, and the word of people is like dominant, then I'm going to be influenced by the word of people. And the word of people is just as empty as the people themselves. I'm not saying people are empty, but you understand that people are passing. So where will that leave us? Where will that leave us? This is foundational. And like I said earlier, it doesn't matter your ability. It's not about how much you recite. It's not about how much we recite. It's not about how much progress we make. It's simply about appreciating that this is the word of Allah and that this is very, very special to me. Honestly, even if there was a person who just doesn't know how to recite or read anything, but just looks at the Quran and says, "This, I know that this is superior to everything else around me," they take benefit from it. In fact, just taking that one step further, the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, the one who recites fluently is in the presence of the noble angels, and the one who recites with difficulty gets double the reward. That means the one who's kind of like scraping by and putting letters and words together is getting double the reward of the one who recites fluently. Why? Because they're making the effort, recognizing that this is the word of Allah and this is something I will never give up on. That's the power of the opportunity. So the first message, you know, which I unfortunately didn't get to harp on over the last gathering, the first message for everybody here, myself, beginning with myself, that we should appreciate that if we're serious about developing our deen, we're serious about bringing light into our homes, we're serious about elevating our spirits, we're serious about developing ourselves as an ummah in the future and solving so many of the problems that we face, it cannot occur without a consistent relationship with the Qur'an. It cannot occur without a consistent relationship with the Qur'an. This is the miracle of the deen. This is what uplifted us, and this is what is our downfall. This is what is our downfall. Now, let's go one step further, because actually there's the point I actually want to make I haven't gotten to yet. The point that the scholars make is very nuanced, so I'm setting up the stage because I'm trying to deliver a point, and again, I'm not doing a good job because it's off the top of my head. But now let's get to the next point, which is the point I just kind of touched on, which is that to leave the Qur'an will lead us to a place where we never imagined we would end up on the global scale, historically and in our time. It's when we disconnect ourselves from the Qur'an that we lose so many of the blessings that were present and right before us. And you don't have to look further than what's going on in the world around us. Now, I know, I'm not naive, I'm an educated person. I recognize that, you know, you can't directly attribute our state to the Qur'an. Meaning you can't say, because of this, this is happening. But I will just tell you that if you have a wide lens, we can start with ourselves, and we could ask the question, am I experiencing the deen the way that I should experience it? And if not, it's very likely that we just haven't engaged the Qur'an. Now, by engaging the Qur'an, I don't mean some academic study. I mean taking it as a source of spiritual nourishment. Academic study comes with that, but you know, we want to make everything academic nowadays. Just become one more class. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a deep engagement with the Qur'an, the way the Sahaba engaged the Qur'an. All right? So, number one, in our own lives, if we see that there are deficiencies in our character, we see that the light that is present in our deen isn't shining brightly in our hearts, we see that the energy is lacking, we see that our families are in disarray, we see that our communities are breaking down, we see that people are, you know, may Allah protect us, leaving the deen. Part of it, a big part of it, is because we haven't brought the Qur'an to life the way that it should be brought to life within ourselves, within our homes, within our greater community. Again, it's not the only issue. I mean, a person who recites the Qur'an has to do the hard work of changing their character, asking how they can improve, all of the things that come with that. But the Qur'an is the foundation. The Qur'an is the foundation of this deen. And if we disconnect ourselves from it, we end up in a place that we didn't imagine, even though our minds wish we were someplace else. Do you understand point number two? That's still not my point. Now I'm going to come to my point. Point number three, not my point, the point that the scholars make. Point number three. And point number three is a case in point. What does a case in point mean? It means an example to highlight the principle that I'm discussing here. And point number three is I'm going to take you back a step, and I'm going to say that remember what I started with, which is I said that the first interaction is often a defining one. The first interaction is often a defining one. So the first interaction of this ummah was iqra, recite. Iqra, recite. Recite the divine revelation. So this was the first interaction. And if we leave that first interaction, our compass will slowly get off course and we will end up in a place where we shouldn't be. Correct? Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that this example is beautifully highlighted in another place in the Quran. And this is the nuanced point that I was trying to get to. And subhanAllah, the way the scholars explain this, honestly, I've been thinking about it for 1 week. Normally, when I finish tafsir, when I finish the GEMS program, I just go and I like flush my mind of everything when I get home. Because I have so much time preparing this, that, my head is completely wrapped around everything. So normally, I just disappear and move on. In fact, I can tell you that when I do the next program, I never remember where I left off. I have to ask somebody, which ayah did I leave off on? Because I just completely reset myself, I just forget. But subhanAllah, this last whole week, I keep thinking about this point, and I didn't even make it in the gathering, but I keep thinking about this point and just how deep it is. So the point that we're trying to get to is that the first interaction is definitional, it's foundational, and a lack of appreciation of that takes you to a place where you never imagined you would be. And another example of this is present in the Holy Quran. And what's that example? Okay, now to understand that example, I have to also take you back one step. You can see why we didn't do this last week. We would have spent the whole time. But let me just remind you, let's go back. It's so this example that we're pointing out is actually another verse in the Quran, which is it's actually arising in another incident that occurred centuries before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Centuries before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what is that? It is the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam. The miraculous birth of Isa. Alayhi salam. Isa, of course, is Jesus. Peace be upon him. Okay, so what's the circumstance? As you're all aware, his mother, alayhi salam, she was given the blessing of a child without ever having interacted with another man. And this was one of the miracles. This was a miracle, correct? Now, when she was giving birth, she was commanded to separate herself from the community and to give birth. And the Quran narrates this in detail, but we don't have time. So she is commanded to separate herself, and she gives birth. And once she gives birth, she's fearing what her community will think when she shows up with the child. Now, of course, because they're not going to immediately appreciate the miraculous nature of the incident, they're going to come to conclusions which are extreme. What would the extreme conclusion be? That somehow some sort of like illicit relationship, may Allah protect us from ever thinking this, some illicit relationship occurred. So that's going to be their natural conclusion because they're not seeing it as a miracle. They're seeing it based on the common understanding of the world around them. So as she approaches her community with the child in her arms, interestingly, she is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast. So she fasts. And she fasts, and by the way, the fasting at that time included fasting from speech. So she cannot speak. Now, this is kind of an interesting situation if you think about it, because she's going to approach her community with a child in her arms. The community is going to make conclusion A, which is a very, 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 you know, difficult conclusion to come to. And her only defense would have been what? She can't show the baby. Her only defense would be to speak. That's the one defense she has. To say, you know me, I would never do such a thing. This is a miracle from Allah. This is the way by which she can defend herself. But subhanAllah, she's commanded to fast, so she can't speak. So she doesn't have that defense. So when she shows up with the baby in hand and she cannot defend herself, she has to point to the baby. And the first interaction with the community occurs in which the baby speaks. This is a miracle of Isa alayhi salam. He speaks, he says, Inni Abdullah. And that's the introductory interaction or the foundational interaction of the people of Isa alayhi salam with Isa alayhi salam. Okay, now, subhanAllah, it's interesting. The first interaction, essentially this is a revelation because it's a verse of the Quran, Inni Abdullah. The first interaction that the community of Isa alayhi salam has with revelation and with this miracle, the foundational interaction is what? Is to recognize that Isa alayhi salam is the servant of Allah. Is to recognize that Isa alayhi salam is the servant of Allah. This is their foundational challenge, right? Because it's their first impression, it's their first interaction. And subhanAllah, you can see when they mistook this point, where did they end up today? Right? Isn't this the issue? Instead of recognizing him as Abdullah, right? They are attributing or associating him with Allah. So the lack of their ability to take that foundational message led them to end up in a place far from the original message. You understand? And I think everybody in this room can relate to that. They would say, wow, it started here and it ended up here. So the scholars are saying that if this is the historical case in point of a community that fails to appreciate their foundational message and they end up centuries later far from that message, in the same way, if this community fails to appreciate its case in point, foundational message, recitation of revelation, they will also potentially end up far from where they think they should have been. You understand the point that they're making? Now, it took me half an hour to highlight this because it's so subtle. By the way, they say in one sentence. It's funny because I read the sentence and then I just glossed over it and I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And then a few days later, it just came back in my head. Well, what was that? Like, I didn't understand that. And it took me a little bit to catch on, although it was said in passing. It wasn't like a developed argument over, you know, pages. It was just a sentence. And subhanAllah, but the depth, and it just kept ringing in my mind for the whole week, that the depth here of the reminder is like essentially the sentence is trying to make is that, look, if you see the people of today, the people of Isa alayhi salam today, the community of Isa alayhi salam today, and where they are compared to where they started, and you want to know how they got there, it's because they lost their foundational introduction, their basic principle of this message that was the first message delivered to them. And in the same way, if we don't hold fast to recitation of revelation, we will very easily end up far from the direction that we should be headed in. And I think that's case in point today. Case in point today. Now, subhanAllah, it's built into our deen that we engage the revelation, right? Because we've got to pray five times a day, and the prayer inherently contains revelation. So we're somewhat insulated, we can say. The community is insulated, because as long as you're praying five times a day, you're going to engage revelation. But that type of appreciation of the revelation and engaging it, recognizing that Allah is the creator of everything and this is an opportunity to be able to engage with His words, and recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akram, He's al-akram, the most generous and the most noble, and this is an opportunity to be able to engage with His words and to appreciate that this is better than anything else, that everything is created, right? All of this stuff that we pursue and all of these things that we talk up between one another and all of these circumstances that we think are so important in our lives, these are all things that we generate in our own mind. They're not the real opportunity. The real opportunity is an engagement with the Quran. So every one of us, if on so many levels, on a personal level, every one of us needs to hold fast to the Quran. Otherwise, we will end up in a place where we never imagined we would be. And on a family level, the whole family, the household, let's not say family, the household needs to be built around the Quran. Just like if I asked you, you know, I'm certain everybody in this room goes to the grocery store. There's no way you can't go to the grocery store. The human body needs to be fed. But the soul is the same. The soul is the same. Somebody in the house has to be bringing in the groceries. So somebody in the house better be reciting some Quran in the home in order to bring barakah into the entire home. And I'm not saying we should be reciting it as some sort of litany. We should be reciting it because it's the word of Allah, not because like it's giving me some benefit of protecting me in my home. Yes, we get that benefit, but we're reciting it because it's the word of Allah. The benefit comes with it. The benefit comes with it. So somebody in the home, or at least one, two, three people in the household, there should be some engagement with the Quran. And then on a community level, like a community level, right, that on a community level, there should be some gatherings that are established that allow us to be able to engage the Quran, be reminded of the importance of the Quran. And then on a broader level, just the importance of emphasizing the Quran within the ummah as a whole. So this is the miracle of our deen. This is the opportunity that all of us have. And I would just say, you know, just a simple take-home message is that, look, 10, 15 minutes a day, it's just not a big deal. 10, 15 minutes a day to just say, okay, honestly, if you just said to yourself, you know, my journey in the Quran is going to begin with my learning how to pronounce each letter properly. And so what I'm going to do is that I'm just going to spend 5 minutes or 7 minutes every day learning one letter. I know you know the letters, but just practicing it to pronounce it properly. Within a month, you would have completed all the letters. Within a month, you would complete all the letters. And you say, a month? Yeah, but a month just passed. I mean, we met for a GEMS program a month before, and then a month before that, and a month before that. And you know that tomorrow is going to be the next Ramadan. It just comes like that. So to have simple, simple goals, and then to build upon them, and then to create this engagement with the Quran, that opens up the taste of the Quran. And when you open up the taste of the Quran, then it becomes like anything else. You don't need to be told to go entertain. We don't need to be told to entertain ourselves. We're like asking, when is the next episode coming? When is the next book coming? You know, when is the next season coming? Whatever a person's interested in. It's because they've tied their heart to it. So just a reminder, I think, from the last gathering, what I'll say is that just a reminder, a beautiful depth of the scholars, but just a reminder of the importance of understanding the blessing of revelation for us and the importance of having a consistent interaction with it if we're serious about developing ourselves spiritually. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the opportunities that He provides for us, in particular the opportunity to engage the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be able to engage it on a consistent basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that which is the most enjoyable means of passing our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open its depths to our hearts, and may He make it a source of guidance for us in both this world and the next. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.